All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. This is ATI MEC podcast. It's kind of the first for our new MEC we have with us. Today I'm joined by Mike Sterling, our MEC chair, Brody Lutke-Hughes, our vice chair, Drew Patterson, our sec treg, and myself, Josh Hoy, executive administrator. Little background by everybody. Mike Sterling, newly elected, re-elected MEC chair. You want to tell us a little bit how long you've been here?
Hey, good morning, Josh. We appreciate everybody tuning in. I am elected to a new term at the MEC, started my first term in 2018, so this is term number three for ALPA, and then I was the EXCO chair back in 1999 with the Teamsters when we were negotiating our first contract. Been with ATI 27 years and also part of the negotiating committee, which will be certainly a focus of our conversation today.
So, great. Thanks for being here. Brody?
Yeah, good morning, Josh. And again, thank you, everybody, for joining us. My name's Brody. I've been with ATI 3 years. I came in as vice chair midterm last year in June. So this will be my second term serving as a vice chair and first officer representative. That term starts March 1st.
Thanks, Brody.
Good afternoon. I'm Drew Patterson. I'm the new incoming sec treg. I've been at ATI about 3 years, and before this, I was running the SPSC with Dan Grimes for the last couple months. Built that up after last year.
Yeah, thanks for all your effort on that. Myself, Josh Hoy, I've been here 7 years now with ATI. Joined with volunteering as pilot peer support chair about 4 years back, and then just over 7 months ago, joined the executive administrator position with Mike, and currently recently just joined the negotiating committee. But anyways, we wanted to do this today and hopefully start off, you know, a new communication tool of speaking to everybody. Anyways, Mike, if you want to start us off, give us a little bit of state of affairs, where we stand, what we're looking at.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. We, you know, obviously our pilots are most concerned today about the state of negotiations, although we have, we're focused on quite a few other issues on the property at this point. So, you know, that's the difficult part of, I think, about being a single counsel with ALPA is that we have responsibility for not only negotiations, but also for all the other issues that are affecting our crew members. And we do that primarily with interaction with our committees, like, you know, as you were on pilot peer support, if, you know, a pilot is having a particular issue and needs some additional assistance, then, you know, that resource can be, you know, farmed out to that committee. And Drew with strategic preparedness and strike committee. So all these folks are working on your behalf to try to make our organization, our pilot group, better, stronger, and safer. And so as we work our way through today, you know, we hope you're reading the emails. There's been a lot of them, a lot of educational material, a lot of updates. We will have a all-pilot conference call coming up associated with our MEC meeting next month. And then, like Josh said, we're going to try this podcast format. And, you know, ideas like this is really a product of having a national strategic preparedness and strike committee go team work with us on things that can make our message to you stronger. And one of the things, like Josh mentioned, Alaska Airlines had tremendous success during the negotiating process, just having the opportunity to hear from their representatives. So each time we do this, it'll be, you know, we'll bring in different people, we'll talk about different things. And of course, if there's something you would like us to cover for the next podcast, please send us a DART or an email telling us about what is forefront in your mind. I'll just briefly cover where we are in the negotiating cycle, but we are going to talk more at length about the National Mediation Board and the process that we find ourselves in. But we have a lot of new folks on the property. 38% of our pilots are on probation. They're just learning about unionism and what we are doing to try to advance all our careers. So a lot of those folks may not have had an opportunity to be part of the background of the negotiations and see all the things that have occurred since we started negotiating 3.5 years ago. And so it's been a long process. The vast majority of the contract is done and has been done for over 16 months now. We are bogged down in the economic part of the contract. So it's really a shame to see all that work just sitting there waiting to be implemented while we try to figure out the final finances.
Right. It's frustrating.
Right.
It's
I mean, and maybe Brody, you can add your, you know, what you're hearing, your opinion about the frustrations that you think our pilots are facing right now.
Well, I think the biggest frustration is, you know, waiting on the contract, quality of life issues, the way management is treating some of our pilots. As far as the current state of affairs, one of the questions that I've received some feedback on is what exactly did it mean when we proffered the board for arbitration last week? I think there's some confusion as far as what steps there are going through the process. Maybe not a full understanding of the timeline and the fact that these are necessary steps under the RLA. And in a lot of ways, we are under the timeline now of the NMB ever since we started mediation. You know, a lot of these decisions come to the board, we do our step, and then we have to sit back and wait for a response. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what we've heard is since we proffered the board for arbitration and where we actually are in negotiations.
So from my perspective, you know, we entered into mediation after our January and February 2023 sessions that produced no tangible results. And that really was following the 11 weeks of intensive negotiations at the end of 2022 that didn't produce any tangible results. So, you know, we were faced with the company saying that they wanted to follow the mediation process. We certainly are an advocate of the National Mediation Board and what they bring to helping pilot groups get across the finish line with contracts under the Railway Labor Act. And so we petitioned the board in conjunction with the company to start mediation. That led to 5 mediated sessions in 2023. So, you know, we spent 5 sessions with our mediator, Mike Tosi. It culminated in a very difficult session in October of last year where the company proposed what they called clawbacks, reduction in our current environment, like giving up home basing and moving to a virtual basing system, things that are just to us completely
absolutely
unreasonable.
Not. Non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Not going down that path. And so the company said, you know, we can't negotiate during peak because of, you know, just the overwhelming demand of their attention towards peak and their need for us to fly the airplane during right. that period. So we were scheduled for a session in January of 2024 this year, and the National Mediation Board canceled that session due to mediator availability, which was disappointing, but they control the meeting process. And when we meet, where we'll meet, what the agenda will look like. And so we're doing work internally. There's some things from an economic perspective that are very important for us to understand, and the relationship between ATI, ATSG, and Amazon. And the company is unwilling to be transparent about that relationship. So that led us to the end of January 2024, where we said, you know, this process is not working. We are at an impasse. The board has to evaluate that very carefully. What that means from their perspective is that is there anything else that we can talk about, and can it be productive? And we have had one meeting with the board, and then they have our lengthy letter about why we think we're at impasse. The result of that was a couple days ago, they have requested comment from the company, basically a response to our request. And they gave the company 7 days to respond to that, and the deadline for that is next week. So
it's very interesting.
Yeah, we from there, we just we'll see what they have to say next. So,
right.
I mean, I think that's where we are at the moment. We're standing by. The meetings for February and March were canceled
as a result of the
proffer.
Right. That's how I understand
but
it.
That doesn't mean we won't meet in March.
Right. I mean, like for now, for instance, we took advantage of we were supposed to meet this week, so we just decided to come up to Vallow. They're holding a leadership conference up here, so but it's great to come up here and use the resources and actually get the team together and prepare what we're going to do next.
Right.
Yeah, so ultimately I think, you know, we're really waiting on that response from the board, you know, and they may come back and ask us more questions. They may come back with a response. What that timeline looks like, I don't think we're sure on that at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's something to clear up because we've had a lot of guys, you know, it's made its way around the rumor mill. You know, everybody talks about the flight attendants who were the last people to go through this process. And so I think their timeline might be a benchmark for what would be considered average. But again, we should stress that can be, you know, anything or it can be any result. You know, it can be a week. It can be, you know, more
right.
than that, you know.
Well, there's a number of groups. I think you're alluding to the American Airlines flight attendants.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, so there's a number of groups around the country that are bogged down in negotiations. American Airlines flight attendants, Southwest Airlines flight attendants just have a phenomenal strike vote on their property. But American did the same thing that we did just a little bit sooner, which was proffer for arbitration. And let me just clarify the proffer for arbitration. That's really a term of art within the National Mediation Board, which says we want to move to the next part of the process, and that is cooling off. In order to do that, they have to offer both parties arbitration, and then both parties have the opportunity to reject that. If either party rejects arbitration, then it moves to the cooling off period. So just one event triggers the next. And then, of course, if we were to reach the end of the cooling off period, that's when we would be released into self-help. So as Drew said, you know, the American Airlines flight attendants were seeking the same pathway, and the board is evaluating their request, and there'll be meetings about how that's going to occur. So there's a number of carriers standing in line for the board's attention at the moment, which, you know, the board is only three people with so many resources. So, you know, we're vying for it. Of course, we have been talking extensively to FedEx. We were at the cargo symposium last week in Memphis, gave us an opportunity to talk to their MEC and some of the negotiators. They, unlike us, are making some progress. You know, don't know when the finish line is there, but it's...
And who we also share a mediator with.
Right. It's heartening to hear that they're making progress. But unfortunately, our mediator is their mediator. And so, you know, they have more grounds for having a meeting. You know,
right.
Sides want to talk to each other and advance the issues. And, you know, that's not what we're seeing at our property.
No, not at all. Drew, speaking about, you know, questions you're getting on the line, what else are you hearing from our pilots out there?
A lot of it was about the proffer for arbitration, the verbiage, what that looks like, what it actually is, what the process is. And Mike, you touched on that really well. Another thing you mentioned, which I think deserves to be elaborated more on, is, you know, the National Mediation Board can do several things in response to a proffer. They can do nothing. They can tell us yes, no, maybe, sort of. And we were real worried that they were going to say no, but they reached out and requested comment from the company. And so that was a big change that we were happy to see. So thankfully, it's not a one-way street right now. So,
yeah, and I think the National Mediation Board has a number of tools at their disposal that they've used across all properties, and they apply those tools, which they think is going to provide the best result. So, you know, they certainly seem to be at a point right now where they want to understand the case. You know, we've clearly presented our case, and the company is being provided an opportunity to, you know, counter that, our opinion, I guess you would call it. And, you know, the board will evaluate how that should be treated once they see both sides of the case. And it can vary anywhere from a granting of our request to essentially putting us in a holding pattern that says that we are going to take some time away from negotiations because progress isn't being made. We think we've made a strong case for that not to happen. We think we've made a really compelling case that 16 months of no progress is very noteworthy to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're looking at that and they're going, well, that just, you know, that's not reasonable.
Not at all.
No. So.
And when you say holding pattern, is that like what they consider being ICE?
Yeah, I mean, there's different terms that, you know, they're all kind of unofficial. But, you know, if you look at it from, you know, you need to go stand in the corner and face the wall, young man, until you understand the error of your ways. I mean, it's if both parties are not talking to each other, then it's fruitless to them to have meetings that don't generate progress. So that is one of the things that they can consider doing. You know, I mean, they certainly realize, though, that if a company like ours and a corporation like ours that has made very clear statements that they don't, we don't plan on finishing a contract, you know, anytime in the future, they, you know, they know that that's their tactic, and that we are, you know, in essence, they would be offering a play into that tactic if we were to be sat on the sidelines. So, we have certainly said that clearly, and they certainly understand through statements made publicly by our corporation that having a contract in 2025 or even later, it, you know, would just be completely unacceptable.
Detrimental.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, can the carrier sustain that is really,
right.
I think,
I mean, look at our
question.
Attrition numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the attrition numbers are absolutely through the roof right now, and I don't see it getting better. I mean, you look at these other airline contracts that are out there and, you know, compare what we do. You know, we've grown to, I believe it's 50 jets now and near 600 pilots. I mean, we're the largest carrier for Amazon out there, which is the largest retailer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to laugh at the company's ad campaign for their next
hiring
event.
Yeah, skip,
you know,
the flow or whatever it was.
Avoid the flow, yeah. I mean, why would you want to flow to American Airlines?
I don't know, $250,000 a year signing bonus and
right.
then quality of life.
I mean,
senior,
I think you could choose
right into a heavy.
Well, and I think what's interesting, too, is they even said direct entry captains, yeah. which we don't have any CBA language that supports that. You know, there is an actual process for it. And for them to just say, hey, come on board as a captain, not realizing that that may or may not be possible depending on how that works. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Mike, but it's just it's very bold for them to come out and say, come to ATI, be a captain tomorrow. You know, life is great when we just know it's not right now.
Yeah, we certainly recognize that there are pilots being hired that are coming out of initial training into the left seat. We don't see that as a direct entry captain. We see them as first officers hired and then being awarded a captain right. position because they have the qualifications to be a captain. It's been a rough program. You know, I mean, it's a, you know,
the
you're chewing off
rate
a lot. Yeah.
That
I mean,
is very low.
And I think maybe this is a good segue into what we're seeing for our pilot group when it comes to management's approach. And treatment of the pilot group to training issues, to sick leave issues. And, you know, I mean, I would spin that to you, Josh, and say
the uptick in hearings are, yeah, it's alarming. They are really coming down on, like you mentioned, sick leave policy is huge. You know, as a reminder, you know, the requirements for that are in the GOM, but we're seeing a lot of repping cases, you know, due to folks not abiding to the sick leave policy for ATI. And training failures, I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, we're going to see those go down anytime soon. So,
yeah, that's another thing. You bring somebody on and you tell them, hey, direct entry captain, and then what's our training review board rate right now? We're up over the last couple of years 400%. That's a mark on your career, you know? What's
yeah.
it look like?
Right, so the training review board that right. you mentioned is a very positive process within training, right? The training review board was designed to allow us to help advocate for a pilot that has experienced some bump in the training pipeline. You know, it just, you know, a sim didn't go well, or there's extraneous factors that are affecting their ability on a particular day, and they just didn't mention it, and then things didn't turn out the way they should. But what's happening for our new hires is the training review board process is working great. Our TRB team is just, I mean, they are
swamped.
It's just, you know, I mean, TRB and, you know, our TRB rate has just climbed dramatically. We did 166 TRBs, I think, last year. And a lot of those were success stories. But for the pilots to get tripped up and they go to TRB number two, what used to happen was is that those pilots would be take the recommendations of the TRB and sent back through the training program for to try to continue their success. Now they're
typically seeing them being let go.
Yeah, they're being sent to the chief pilot's office for a review after TRB number two, and the vast majority of those pilots are terminated. And you mentioned the sick leave policy. This is just, you know, the company aggressively using the GOM policies that if you call in sick more than five times in a rolling 12-month period, you're either facing time off or termination for that. And so they're very aggressive policy, but that's what we're here for. You know, we rep every one of those cases. We work with the pilot to determine whether there's extenuating circumstances, and then we help them in their hearings and, you know, try to provide the best outcome possible. So whether
right, and we can provide that for probationary pilots as well.
Absolutely. Right. For every, I mean, you know, whether they're day one on the property,
right.
I mean, one of the hearings this week, I mean, the pilot is not even halfway through training and, you know, got tangled up with the chief pilot's office, and through the hearing process, we're able to get him reset back into, you know, hopefully a positive outcome. But, I mean, this is, you know, I think the danger, you know, is you come to ATI at this point, it's tough. I mean, you are going to face a process that may affect your career for a long time, because training is doing a great job, but we're asking a lot of pilots that have incredibly low experience levels, and training is not forgiving either, right? I mean, they're holding the standard. So, you know, talk to a pilot this week, came out of a single engine aircraft. I mean, that's a big leap. Give somebody a second engine and a gear handle and you know, climb above 10,000 feet for the first time in their career. And then it doesn't go well because that is such a leap. Mm-hmm. And then you're marked forever. You know, so, I mean, I think pilots need to carefully consider the way our program is working and the requirements of our program when they think about coming to ATI. So,
yeah, it's a lot to take on. Keys to the big jet, and there you go. Well, you mentioned TRBs, and, you know, I do want to highlight Carlton Sumner. You know, he's done a tremendous job, and the whole training committee team working with all those.
Absolutely.
What did we say, 166?
And, yeah, 400%
and
since, you know.
2021?
Yeah, since 21.
That's
a lot.
Crazy. But speaking of Carlton, you know, we want to welcome him to the team. He's joined us as second executive administrator, so to help us out on MEC level. And want to thank Ron Chisholm for stepping up as training chair.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Carlton's done a great job. His leadership and training has been fantastic. And the executive administrator role was developed at some point to help the three MEC members. There's just, you know, a lot of activity. The pilot group has grown to close to 600, and having another person to help us with, you know, all of the organization tasks had us add the EA role. And then with everything that's going on, we want to make sure as an MEC that we're not only focused on negotiations, which is obviously, you know, just the top of the issues, but we have all the other issues that go along with the carrier too, which is, you know, whether we're, you know, the company's in a FOQA program development. We have a great FOQA team that's been working behind the scenes so far. You know, but the safety folks, travel,
you name it.
Scheduling. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, you've got hotel, government affairs. Yeah. I mean, the number of committees and resources we actually have out there, you know, I think it's important to remind the pilots, you know, especially our probationary pilots that are just coming on property. All of those resources are available from day one. You know, so I try to encourage the pilots as much as they can to actually go on the app, go on the website, make sure that you can access the documents that we have, be able to file darts to reach these committees. There's a lot of help out there outside of negotiations, but I know that's been the big focus of what's going on throughout this process. But we still have all that other work to do, and our EAs play probably one of the most critical roles in helping keep that organized, keeping our information up to date, answering those questions from our pilots, and we appreciate it.
Right, right. Well, you hit it well. You know, communicate with us. We are here to help. The DART program's amazing tool. We get every dart that you send in. You know, sometimes it seems like what happens after you file a dart, but there's a lot of committees that work on that, and we communicate with you know, the appropriate avenues, whether it be management, hotel issues. We've seen a massive uptick in darts there, but we're in active talks with management on trying to resolve a lot of these. So keep them coming.
Yeah, and there's definitely phone numbers out there. I mean, if you're in a bind, give us a call. You know, the one big reason I like the DART program, you know, whether it's committee specific, you know, every MEC officer sees every DART, and when it is sent to a specific committee, all those committee members are seeing that DART. You know, and these are our committee members are volunteers, so they're out flying the line. Some may be at home and available. Some may be on the line and available. But when you actually submit it through the DART system, it just gets more eyes on it at once and allows for a much quicker response to see what that issue is and how we're going to address it. If you're unsure where to send it, you can just send it to the MEC officers and we can reassign it to that committee. But it's a fantastic tool to be able to get a lot of people looking at one issue at one time and keep the MEC kind of informed of trends and things that we're seeing out on the line and things that we need to really step up and take to management to try to resolve some of these problems.
Right, right. Thanks everybody for joining us today. You know, and we'd like to continue to use this avenue to communicate with you. So if you have any things you'd like us to discuss, we'd be happy to do future podcasts with all of you. But Mike, you have anything to?
Yeah, I appreciate you hosting today, Josh, and you know, a shout out to Drew and Brody for stepping up for the next election cycle, 3-year term. You know, I really appreciate Brody returning to in the vice chair position and having Drew come on board as our Secretary Treasurer, and we thank Solomon for his service, what he filled in the interim role between his election last year. But I feel like we have a strong MEC coming up. The leadership is in place with all the folks around me to help us get the contract we deserve, to keep the property safe, and you know, to just keep advancing our issues, our profession. So I thank everybody.
Yeah, and thanks to our volunteers. I mean, they really make this all come together. So it's a lot of work out there, but it doesn't go unnoticed. Drew, Brody, have anything?
No, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. You know, I think Josh just touched on something we hadn't mentioned, and that is thank you to all of our volunteers. You know, the union is every pilot that's at the carrier, but it's really the volunteers that step up on these committees and in these positions to help provide these resources for pilots. And we can always use more help. So if you're interested in getting involved, please shoot us a dart, shoot us an email, call one of us, and get involved. Drew?
Heck yeah, I let go all of that. Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job. I'm excited to come on, and man, I know just as much as every other pilot here, I'm ready to push it over the finish line. So let's get this done.
All right, thanks for joining us today.